An RSN transmitter check. In Ballarat and the Goldfields on 1314 AM.
From Victoria's racing heartland, this is the only program dedicated to Victorian country racing. Welcome to the Country Racing Show. It's got it all.
I can feel this day. I can see this day. It's got it all.
Hello again and welcome to the Country Racing Show, where we delve into the heartland of racing around Victoria. We're going to look back on a big week in country racing, of course, a highlight, the Sportsbet Ballarat Cup last Saturday, and we'll look ahead to what we have in store around the state as well. And the band is back together. We've got the full team, Darren Galley and Connor Ryan from Country Racing Victoria. How are you, gents?
Fantastic. Thank you, Michael. Welcome back to you too. I have a little freshen up, so you must be ready to roll.
Absolutely. Fresh as a daisy. I'm just worried about the rain knocking all my petals off. How are you, Connor?
Yeah, I'm good. Sorry, Michael, is it? I'm Connor. It's nice to see you. Yeah, look, we're not sure what's going to happen with this weekend, but hopefully everyone can stay safe and stay dry. And if some racing goes ahead, then that's great. That's a positive.
Absolutely, especially for the people around country Victoria. I know a lot of farmers out there are doing a hell of a lot of work at the moment trying to waterproof their farms, and no doubt the trainers as well in the country areas. We, if you believe the reports, especially in the central western country area of this state, we are looking towards a deluge that we haven't seen before.
Yeah, very true. So a couple of tracks have got some plans in place to move to synthetic. A couple don't. So we'll just have to monitor the social media channels all through the weekend to make sure you know what's happening with all the races across the weekend.
And up Benalla way, they're expecting 300 odd mils, I think. So to the Saturday meeting, there's already been transferred in advance because they know it's just going to be far too wet. So you're right up there. It's going to be, you know, the animal welfare is going to be key for all the trainers.
Exactly.
Obviously looking after their horses and find another race day when it dries up again.
Yep, absolutely. We'll talk more about that when we look ahead. But foremost, just everyone, keep yourself safe and as dry as possible throughout the week. Time to take a look back on what was another remarkable week in country racing.
On the Country Racing Show, the Country Racing Week That Was.
And it was a brilliant week of racing. We go back to last Friday, and it was the Wodonga Gold Cup meeting. And what a great day, Daz, and a great win as well.
Yeah, a very, very hot day. Huge crowds. The race course was looking spectacular.
It
was fantastic. The way they set it up, it was a full house virtually. A fantastic lineup of entertainment and racing, highlighted by Eskimo Joe after last week. It was a bit of a bonus for us old music aficionados, so really rocked away.
How old's Eskimo Joe?
Oh, they've been going around for about 15 years.
Okay.
At least.
Right.
Some, you know, number one
When
hits.
You say old, I think of your music in the day, the Beatles and stuff.
Bobby Darin.
Yeah. We had to go back
the
there,
Seekers.
Yeah, I'm not really sure the freshen up's done you any good, Michael.
Well, let's have a listen to the winner, Belle Burgess.
Belle Burgess offered a bit of a kick here. Lingua's struggling. So too Strike Force. Hot Ruby out wider. Belle Burgess still led 100 to go. Hot Ruby got into second from Strike Force. It's Belle Burgess clear, though, and Belle Burgess does it all the way.
It was a great front-running ride by Damien Thornton, wasn't it?
He gave nothing else a chance, and I think for a few people, the horse had a few queries against it. It hasn't had the best of form in late, but when he hit the front end, it was just proved too good and powered away and made the first look of the quaddie very hard to find.
I was personally very disappointed. I backed Hot Ruby at odds too, and I was really just cheering for Belle Burgess to slow down there, but it was a very nicely rated ride by Damien Thornton, and it was far too good.
And well done for trader Michael Roebuck as well. A nice win for him.
Yeah, indeed it was. But how about the first starter in race two? I don't even know. Makuna Boy, first starter as a seven-year-old and got the chocolate.
Absolutely.
So it must have been obviously a long list of problems for the horse, but ran a really nice race for veteran local jockey, Robbie Beattie, who got the chocolates there.
Quite remarkable.
Patience is a virtue, Darren.
A seven-year-old debut winner.
Fair evidence of that.
Yep. There's hope for you yet, Daz. then we moved to Saturday and it was a Sportsbet Ballarat Cup Day. Talk about an unusual day. The rain we've got coming this weekend, well, we had a sneak preview of that at Ballarat on Saturday. We started the day on a good four and ended on a heavy nine.
Yeah, it was a very hot and steamy morning and a lot of storm clouds around. But as I say, quite unusual the way that the weather was very isolated to the Ballarat area. I live not far from there and I rocked home from Wodonga and had no rain all afternoon. But Ballarat copped a bucketing a couple of times during the afternoon, which I think made for perhaps a very significantly change of tactics for the Cup itself.
Yeah, certainly softened things up for the Cup and may have lent a hand to the wet trackers.
They're paddling at the moment, running on as Grand Dreamer. It is Grey Line on Oncidium Ruler's track through as well. Three across the track on Oncidium Ruler, just in front of Mr. Garcia, Grey Line, Grand Dreamer the outside. They're up and down in the one spot at the 150. Grand Dreamer over the top, takes the other three. On Oncidium Ruler's fighting back. Grand Dreamer takes the lead, comes away. Survival of the fittest, and Grand Dreamer wins it.
It was more akin to a midwinter July race at Ballarat, the finish of that, because it was a beautiful call for Matty Hill. It was survival of the fittest. They went out really hard.
But sure did. In fact, Matty Hill actually did his best Rick McIntosh impersonation
didn't he? Yeah, it was giving off some Grand Annual vibes by the end there, wasn't it? They'd battled pretty hard all the way around, and they were just going by the end of it. And Grand Dreamer, obviously the wet tracker of the bunch, just skipped through the mud and claimed it for Robert Smurden. And he had a good day, Smurden.
He did. He had his other good horse, Tesla, which won on the day as well, the Eureka Stockade. And Paddy Maloney, he just capped off what was a stellar spring carnival for him.
Sure was. I think he's been rewarded with a little trip to New Zealand for the weekend for a group race over there. But how was the way that the little engine flashed home in that Cup, man? It came home at a great rate, and it's almost, did you see that worthy, but
the
not
Baggot.
Quite. The Baggot, yes.
The Baggot's his race.
Yeah.
Be one to watch there, Darren. But, I mean, there were a few runs in the Cup worth noting. Mr. Garcia was the hot favourite. He didn't like the wet, so that was the word from the stable. Weary actually said before the Cup he was hoping for a firm track, so should have anticipated that. And the champ, Sontag, he's finally gone. Henry Dwyer came out and said it was going to be his last race. He didn't finish it off. Yeah, I think he did
too. I'm pulling the pin at the halfway mark.
He got to the 1600 and he'd had enough. Yeah. So happy retirement to Sontag, who was a multiple country cup winner and a good campaigner for Henry and the team.
Absolutely. So that was an enthralling Ballarat Cup. The undercard on the day, it's always a great day. And, gee, the Magic Millions Clockwise Classic has grown legs in recent years. It's only been around, was it 4 or 5 years?
I think it's about 5 or so years, but it's been a fantastic form race, I guess. A good race to follow for the Magic Millions, and another really strong win by the Adelaide visitors for the day, who are a couple of winners on the day.
I think we might have one to follow, La Pomme de Pin, heading up towards the Magic Millions as well. It was a very, very smart debut.
Made the rest of them look very ordinary. Jumped very nicely, got out to the lead and just kept going. So it was a good ride by Joe Bowditch, but it just looked the class thing in the race, didn't it?
Certainly did. And as you mentioned, it was a double for Lloyd Kennewell and Joe Bowditch on the day. So the South Australians coming over to take the cash on Ballarat Cup Day. Matty Stewart went to Woolamai on Saturday and he told us on the verdict on Monday, he said it is one of the best days he's ever spent at the track. He said it was just an outstanding day.
It's a fantastic venue. If it's a hot day or a warm day, there's lots of nice shade. And the Carmichaels, Rob and Bev, do an amazing job of entertaining the entire crowd. I really enjoy my time down there when I've been there. And so it's a really enjoyable day, very family-focused. So you can take your own frothies on course. And
I think that's what Matty liked the most.
Yeah, they get lots of hens and bucks parties down there. In fact, I was down there one day and saw a wedding during between races 3 and 4.
At the races?
Yes, at the races.
Gee whiz.
Yes.
Hopefully they're still happily married. I tell you what, I'd be happily married if my wife said let's get married at the picnics.
No, it is very friendly on the pocket a day at the picnic races, and Woolamai's a good spot for it. And, I mean, you mentioned Rob and Bev Carmichael. They don't just entertain the patrons on the day. They look after the track. They run the club. They do everything down there. So it's a credit to them and their hard work.
And it was the win on the day, Ebony Tucker and Captain Cupboard.
Captain Cupboard, the world's least impressive superhero, Captain Cupboard. It was her first
doesn't
win.
Doesn't get boxed in, does he?
Yeah. Oh, that's not bad. I don't mind that. That's okay. It was her first win as a trainer. So terrific effort from Ebony, just starting out on the training ranks and got her first win. I spoke to her during the week and she said, I don't really want to be at the picnic, so at least she's got ambition. She wants to go beyond that, but a good place to start.
Well, actually, it's a bit weird her to say that because she's actually the secretary of the Durham Picnic Club, so she might have to change her position.
Well, she wants her horses to go on. Oh, she can still enjoy a day at the picnics, but she just wants to, you know, achieve a bit more in racing. Yeah.
Good on you, Ebony. Well done. On Sunday, we move to Kilmore for the Bet365 Kilmore Cup, and unfortunately, weather conditions didn't help the club, and they only got one race before it had to be called off.
Yeah, they had something like 20 mils of rain, I think, overnight, and it just proved too much for the race day. So they got one race in, and that was enough. I think the stewards deemed that the track wasn't in satisfactory condition to race on. So very bad luck for Benny and the team down there at Kilmore, but they'll regroup and refocus their energy into their next sort of feature race day, which I think will be in early January, Darren.
Yeah, so what they've done now is there'll be no Kilmore Cup this calendar year, but there will be a semi-feature race moved to that January 6th race meet, which is their kids' Summer of Country Racing race day. So it'll actually be a great day. We've actually got Cali Sports there, the free kids' merch bags, and Chris Humphreys from the Wild Action Zoo will be there performing as well. So it should be a good card of racing, plus a fantastic lineup of activities on the day for the whole family.
All right, that is Kilmore. Swan Hill, though, you watch on racing.com, they were getting inundated with rain at Kilmore, and then they go to Swan Hill, it's 40 degrees, sun belting down.
Certainly was, but I think all that did was set up for the champ.
Yes.
It's Alejandra Easy Fly for 65 Roses and Sophie's Image. Alejandra Easy Fly for 65 Roses, driving at the pair, hit the lead late and won it for 65 Roses by a neck on either Alejandra or Sophie's Image.
Now, that was, of course, our charity champion horse for 65 Roses, which CRV bought a stake in a few years ago at, I think it was a charity auction at the Swan Hill Carnival.
It was.
It was on a Saturday night. Anyway, the horse is with Osti Coffee, ridden most times by Harry Coffey. He missed this ride because he was in hospital getting his annual tune-up for his cystic fibrosis, but Lockie King deputised very nicely, and once the horse straightened up, she looked pretty good.
Back to back.
I tell you what, there is good things in the future.
Well, there's talk that a little voicemail message from Harry during the week around really come through the race well. Now, with a few races not quite going away over the next few weeks, heading towards Moonee Valley on Friday night, the 15th of December. Stay at the same distance. She's got a nice drop in weight, and hopefully she can snag another win for a great charity.
Gee, a little bit of Christmas turkey.
Just a turkey?
Just to fill a stocking.
There's a few turkeys in here. Anyway, so all the prize money from CRV's share in the horse goes to Cystic Fibrosis Victoria's Hospital Helping Hand Appeal. It's a great cause. So we wanted to just gobble up as much prize money as possible because it means great. Oh, see,
you
like
that?
Did
you see what
he did there? I did.
More money for cystic fibrosis. So giddy up.
There's no doubt about that. Let's get over to Monday because it was the party with the ponies at Hamilton. And it was also a good day too because it was celebrating the International Day for People with a Disability.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a terrific initiative that the Hamilton Racing Club's been doing since, I think, about 2005. They put on basically activities and games for people of all abilities. So disability support groups from all over the Western Districts roll into Hamilton on the day. People of all ages as well get to enjoy a race day, have some fun. They have a wheelchair accessible horse and cart rides, that sort of thing. They do a fashions on the field. It's just a really fun day for everyone involved, and it's a credit to the club for putting it on. And they've, as I said, it's probably 12 years in now, and it seems to go from strength to strength.
Absolutely brilliant. And you liked the meeting, didn't you, Daz?
I did. I think I liked it for two reasons, but the second of those reasons we'll just listen to now.
Did you see that?
That said, tried to kick away from Harbour Express. Desidero on the fence. She's the master under the whip on the outside. And then Panda's Mr. Nosey and Red Skies and Miss Pistolero from a long way back. That said, still led Harbour Express. She's the master in third place. That said, going all right, though. It's That Said from Harbour Express. A fronted running on late in the piece, but That Said is too good. That said, won by 2.5.
Were you getting a message then, were you?
We were, yes. Well, we call that race out because Wayne and Kate Walters had a double on the day. Won the second race with Ali Orphan, who came back from midfield. But then I think Kate Walters has a great record of actually hitting the front, and particularly with horses trained by her father. And then That Said really kicked away and won nicely. I think they might also have got a sneaky chance in the Mount Gambier Cup across the weekend as well.
There we go. All right. Well, anytime you follow Kate and Wayne Walters, you're going to run a very nice race. Well done to Jess Eaton, too. Got a winner on the day. She's moving over to Chris Maher.
Yeah, that's right. So I think it was actually her last start for Terry and Karina O'Sullivan up there at Stawell, which is she told us all about a couple of weeks ago on this show, which is great. But that loan's up done. So she's moving down to Mornington now with Chris Maher. So hopefully she can find some more success down there and learn a few more tricks and kick on with her career.
And it was a week of highlights in country racing around the state, but one of the biggest was at Ballarat on Tuesday, because She's Beneficial was a very emotional win, trained by Gus Philpott, and it was the first winner since his wife Donna passed away mid-year, strapped by Margot's daughter, and another daughter was on course as well. So it was a great day, ridden by John Keating, who was a close family friend as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So Donna's daughter Montana was there to strap the horse on the day, which is terrific. And Gus, you know, acknowledged it was a very emotional win for them. It was Donna's favourite horse, and she loved it.
She's still got a name in the book as the owner.
She's still got a name in the book as the owner, and they were there as a family to experience the day and to get that win. And hopefully that'll, you know, nothing will help them heal, but, you know, hopefully that'll at least give them a bit of comfort and help get things back towards normal. And, you know, it's never easy, but I think they would have got a lot of joy out of that win.
And I love John Keating. I had a chat to him during the week on Racing Pulse, and he said, I just had the feeling that she was with me, and she was with the horse as well. So it was a very, very special day indeed. So it's a great way to wrap up our review of the week in racing. Unfortunately, the rain hit Warrnambool as well, and we only got a couple of the races out on the Port Ferry Cup day, so it's going to be a tough week ahead.
No Port Ferry Cup, unfortunately, but I did appreciate Pete Downes' efforts to try and sell the day. He was battling away on Twitter saying they hadn't seen a drop of rain all day, and even when it rolled in, he acknowledged defeat. But well played, Pete. You gave it a shot.
Very good. All right, time now to spin a yarn.
From Burrumbeat to Buchan and every club in between, the Country Racing Show. From Mildura to Camperdown and every club in between, this is the Country Racing Show. The people at the grassroots of racing. We're spinning a yarn on the Country Racing Show.
Yes, it's time to spin a yarn and find out a little bit more about one of the country racing participants in this great state. And one young man on the rise is Shay Eden, who everyone in the racing game are familiar with. His distinctive colours, and especially over the spring carnival, the deeds of Ocean Embers. And he joins us now on the Country Racing Show to spin a yarn. How are you, Shay?
Very well, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, very good. I've got Darren Galley and Connor Ryan here as well.
Yeah, morning, Shay. How are you, mate?
Good, fellas.
Yeah, good, mate. Hey, you had your first winner way back in 2008 at the Picnics with Just Corrupt. What then got you to move from being a Picnic trainer at that stage into the professional ranks? Was there an owner, or was there a goal of yourself to buy horses to get to that next level?
Look, it all, to be honest with you, it all happened really quick. And, you know, first of all, you know, just quickly, I was a chippy and, you know, had a love for horses and was doing a lot of pre-training and sending horses back and watching horses for the likes of Mick Kent and Mick Price get back, hit the track and, you know, do quite well. So I thought, geez, I'd like to be able to do this myself. And the only sort of way in, I thought, was to grab a Picnic licence and, you know, kick things off myself, which we had a fair bit of luck and success with quite early. And then the next progression was to have an owner trainer's licence. And that was, you know, through support of my family, you know, sharing the ownership with some horses.
So, Shay, when you say you're a chippy, a carpenter, how did you get your first foot into doing pre-training and actually working with the horses?
Look, I'd always had a love for horses, and we'd always had horses on the farm. And, you know, mates of mine, next-door neighbours, would always, you know, have a motorbike to round up their cattle, whereas I'd jump on the horse and, you know, we'd go away and up into the high country and chase brumbies and all that sort of stuff. So I always had a love for riding horses and copped a fair bit of flack on my due throughout, you know, my high school years riding horses when all my mates were riding motorbikes. But, you know, I stuck fat with it and, you know, I was fortunate enough that my uncle, Paul Eden, who's now the stud manager down at Lauriston for Kevin and Tanith O'Brien, got me a leg in the door with the O'Briens, and I started off doing some stable work and before I went and did my my job then, which was a builder. And it all just sort of happened. And then the property across the road from Lauriston, Kevin and Tannis O'Brien's property, there was a property that came up, and I said to my old man, I said, look, Dad, I think I'm going to go and buy this and start breaking in horses. And he sort of half scoffed and laughed. He said, well, how the hell are you going to get some work? You know, who's going to give you work? And I said, well, look, we've seen in the back of the Wynnum Post, there's plenty of ads there, and you know, I'll throw an ad in and we'll, away we'll go, which sounded easy at the time. But, you know, it, it took a little bit of time to kick off, but it did kick off. And as I mentioned, I got the support of the like of, you know, Mick Price and Mick Kent, Colin Little, some of those bigger trainers in town that wanted to take advantage of the beach and also, you know, give me a bit of a go, and, you know, things sort of started to eventuate.
And once you started with the pre-training, Shay, did you find that there was a steep learning curve involved, or was it the fact that you'd grown up riding horses and being around the animal enough for you to, I guess, get started?
Yeah, a bit of both, but definitely a steep learning curve. Obviously, I think the best thing about the way I started at the Picnics was being able to make some mistakes and learn from them, you know, without being, you know, under the watchful eye as we are, you know, these days. Obviously, at the Picnics, you know, there was certain things that, you know, I had to pick up on and learn myself. And I think sometimes you sort of have to, you learn a lot better when you're less